Welcome back to Real Estate New. And boy, if y'all been listening, I'm excited. This is some good information that's pertinent to our lifestyle here in West Texas. Dr. you said to mention the word fracking. You know, I've heard people say fracking. It's almost like a bad word. You know, the sun's falling because fracking happened.
Yeah, you know, I really enjoy it when I go to some state where there's not a whole lot of Republicans, say like to Minneapolis or to Chicago or maybe some parts of Florida, and I'll tell people I'm from Texas A&M and I graduated from the University of Texas, and I actually went to OU for a while too, so I've swung from a lot of trees.
You got them covered.
So I love telling about these students that are coming out, and then just for fun, just to be ornery, I'll tell people, you know, it's like these kids are learning how to frack rocks, and it's going to get better and cheaper and more efficient. And then I'll say, in fact, I've heard that some of the A&M students are learning how to frack trees. That usually gets a giggle out of people in Minneapolis. And they go, are you kidding me? No, we can't be fracking trees. So I never correct it either. So there's people in this country that are pretty sure we're going to start fracking trees in the next couple of months. The bottom line is, we have a lot of energy in this country. And, you know, part of that's true, that maybe there are some oil producers in this country that their cost of production is $80. A lot of those people overpaid for their leases and levered up their firms with too much debt. And those are the ones that you're going to see go bankrupt in the paper. It's not going to be hard to read a Texas newspaper in 2015 and 2016 and not see a story of another Texas oil firm goes bankrupt. Well, okay, that's called capitalism. What you need to know is this. People still want that oil. It's just if a businessman made mistakes and overpaid and overborrowed and goes bankrupt, that doesn't mean people don't want that oil that's in there. The good news is that just in the last 90 days or so, two major investment firms have raised $9 billion to buy these assets from these companies when they go bankrupt. So it's not going to just go away. It's just you're going to change owners. And here's the thing. Let's just say that I'm the dumb guy and I overpay for my leases and I don't know how to do it and I'm inefficient and my cost of production is $80 and I go bankrupt and you show up at the bankruptcy sale and you buy all of my assets at 50 cents on the dollar. Well, suddenly your cost of production isn't $80 anymore. Your cost of production might be $60. And now all of a sudden, with oil at near $60, you can open up and start producing again. And that's going to be kind of a struggle for places like Iran and Russia, who need $100 to $140 a barrel to keep their citizens from overthrowing their government. And so it's going to be kind of interesting times over the next 5 years as we get better and more efficient at producing oil in this country and drive our cost of production down. Gonna be interesting to see how this little ball game ends up.
But look, just to be able to the vertical drilling they do now, you know, we went to Washington, and we saw Drew Darby, and they had the big oil rig right outside the Capitol saying, "Don't let them drill here," which is kind of a misnomer. They wouldn't actually have an oil rig right there.
They ought to do something productive there in Washington.
I agree with that. But look how just that vertical how that's changed it, and like you said. That makes a good point. All these people coming out of school, all these people, their job is to make it better, faster, more efficient.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Well, it is going to happen, and you can bet on it because people are sending the smartest people on earth to those universities I was telling you about. You never hear anybody say, I'm going to send my kid to the University of Albania to get training in oil and gas and geology. Everybody on the planet wants to come to Texas and Oklahoma and Colorado to learn that stuff. And they're the smartest people on the planet, and they're going to make it happen. Let me tell you something about the gas industry. Here's what you got to be nervous about if you're Saudi Arabia or Russia, or Iran for that matter. Our technology in producing natural gas has gotten to the point where one well will produce the same amount of gas as five wells used to produce just 5 or 6 years ago.
Wow.
If we get to the point where we can take that kind of productivity gains and that one oil well will produce five times as much oil as it used to in the past, our marginal cost of production ain't going to be $80.
Well, and we talk about oil right now.
Excuse me, that's not official Texas A&M language to say ain't.
Ain't.
Sorry about that.
It works around here, though.
It was that steakhouse last night. Got to me.
It was too good. But, you know, we've talked about oil, but gas. In West Texas, we have a lot of gas that literally is capped, that's just sitting there, just waiting.
Yeah.
And until we find more and more uses, you hear about them. Maybe we switch the school buses to gas. Good. And stuff like that.
See, this is for the life of me. This is what I just don't understand about our government and our society. So we got all this natural gas, and it's so much cleaner than gasoline and diesel. And it's cheap, and we got it everywhere, and it creates jobs to produce it. And why wouldn't we be switching all of our cars over to that? And all of our buses and all of our trucks?
Okay, why?
Yeah, the answer to why is whenever there's no logical answer to something that makes total common sense, the answer is always the same: politics.
And it is. Yeah, I mean, it is. You mean it's a money deal?
I don't know what it is. It's beyond my pay grade.
It is.
It's just unfathomable. It's what it is.
Hey, we're fixing to run out of time. The oil, that is way good information on the oil and gas. But the thing, a little question I have listening to you. Is I see we may go down for just a little bit and then go back. What do you think is going to happen when they open up those capped wells again? Do you think that'll change anything? Or
when they start opening up the cap, when they start opening up the wells, that will create jobs for servicing people again. So you'll have people that are going to be back to work again that aren't working right now. I mean, nobody wants to drill another well right now, it seems like.
So did I hear what you said? 2015, we ought to be rocking and rolling.
Well, by rock and rolling in 2015, what we're going to do is we're going to produce every drop of oil we can to sell at the $80 to $90 hedged price.
But 16, what do you think?
2016, when the hedges roll off, the price will be the market price of $60 or so. And that'll be interesting to see because that's a hard question. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. Because once you got the hole punched in the ground, that's a substantial part of the cost. And so the cost of then opening it up and then starting to produce oil, some people probably will make a decision, yeah, it's time to go. Let's open some of this up. The reason I mentioned those 4,000 wells is because that's going to put a lid on prices. When prices go up to some magic number, all those wells will come online, and that'll be the end of the price increases. And I bet it's not $100.
Well, we just came back from Austin, and we met with Senator Perry. And one of the things he told us was they did their budget, you know, a billion, whatever it is, lots of money budget. But a lot of it was based on $65 barrel oil. So I'm thinking there must be some logic there. They didn't just pop that number out of the air and base all this huge budget on no foundation at all.
No, I'm sure they're doing their best. But here's what you got to know, Scott. This is why when in 2008 and 2009, people were saying they wanted to invest in gold because they didn't know what to do. And I was trying to convince them to buy a house or a duplex or a farm or something. I told people, if you're even thinking about buying gold, I would just recommend you take cocaine instead because at least you'll feel good before it kills you. And by the way, that's not an official Texas A&M position either. And I've never actually taken cocaine, but I did watch Pulp Fiction once, so yeah, that's about all I know about it. But what you got to know is that oil is a speculative commodity just like gold, and nobody can predict it. Nobody thought that oil would be $50 a barrel in 2015. As late as Halloween, October, the smartest people on earth thought oil was going to be $90 a barrel in 2015. So nobody saw this coming on the downside, and nobody can predict what it's going to be on the upside either. That's just part of a speculative commodity. It's a roller coaster, and nobody knows.
If we knew for sure what it was, we'd all be rich because we could see the future.
Here's what you can know is that if the price spikes up too much, there will be a flood of oil come into the market and kind of quench that fire of a price increase.
Because it's just
sitting it's there. Yeah.
Folks, Dr. Osler, I appreciate it. Great information. Man, you're so knowledgeable on this, and we sure appreciate it. I know how busy you are. Thank you so much for taking your time out to visit with us and share some information with our listeners. We appreciate you very much.
It's been fun to be out here in San Angelo.
Folks, y'all have a great week. We'll catch you next week.